Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, 10 past 9 o'clock here on WPHM. A week from tomorrow, there's going to be a big community-wide meeting to determine essentially what the needs of the recovery community are here in the greater Port Huron area. Pat Patterson is with us from BW Rock. Good morning. How's everything going on at BRock these days?
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having us on your show. We've got Sharon.
Sharon Wilton is here, the busiest retired person in St. Clair County. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Paul. Happy to be here.
Word got out that you're retired, and everybody said, hey, call Sharon. I mean, she's not doing anything
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. I've actually said no to a few things this week. I know that's hard to believe, but I do have to have one day of being retired at least.
Well, how'd you get involved with BRock?
Well, I've been passionate about the BRock organization for a while. Patrick's a great model for that program. And also, I have some relatives that have been involved and have experienced recovery, and I'm very grateful for that.
The and BRock has certainly helped a lot of people in our community over the last several years, hasn't it?
Sure, thanks, Paul. We had 740 phone calls for help over the last 90 days.
Wow. That's over the last 90 days.
Yeah. So that's 740 people needing help or the continuation of help. We're an organization of six people, so we've been very busy over there. And one of our strategic initiatives we identified during our annual planning meeting was community engagement. And how do we do that? So we took an idea on the East Coast called the participatory process, where we give decision-making and ideas and control to the community at large and the recovery community. And, you know, our struggles in this world are all similar. Bettering ourselves, uniting our community, improving our neighborhood, and bettering our world apply to all of us. And the sooner I become less impressed with myself, the sooner I can become more involved in others and give back. So with the giving back concept, we're going to provide a novel idea and give the recovery center that we have away that was given so freely to us. So April 1st at 11 a.m. on Saturday, we're inviting the community and the recovery community to come together. Well, we're going to give our center away, and we're going to promote the decision-making, and we're going to promote empowerment to the recovery community. So you come up with the ideas. This is your center when you walk into it now. It's not our center. It's not the staff's center. It's your center. You want to rearrange the look of it? That's up to you. And then you vote on it, and then you create the committee that's going to follow through and execute on it. So people in recovery will take ownership, not only in their own recovery, but in somebody else's recovery. And that just makes for a better place.
And that's going to help better meet the needs of the community, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Sharon, you're going to help facilitate this meeting next
week. Sure thing. So April 1st, again, at 11 o'clock, we're going to start out with some pizza and introductions. We have a great video we're going to show that explains the participatory process a little bit more. And then we're going to break into some empowerment sessions in which groups will be able to come up with ideas that we can that they can prioritize. I say we, but they can prioritize on what they want to work on. And that can be a number of things. That can be committees for fundraising, working on events, hosting all recovery meetings at noon every day at the center. There's lots of ideas that hopefully we're going to get to.
Well, obviously the recovery community is huge. If you say 750 people have called just in the first quarter of this year calling for help, it gives you a sense of how big the need is, but also how big and continuing to grow this community is.
Yeah, it's been, you know, we've had to adjust our structure at the same pace as our growth has been sort of operating the last couple of years, as you've sort of seen this take off from a mustard seed. But now we're really doing things with the recovery community. And it's not that our engagement today is bad with the recovery community. It's good, but we're going to take it to be great. And how do we do that? We give the decision-making process. So this is just a vehicle. The participatory process is a vehicle to engage the recovery community at a, you know, more better than what we're currently doing today. And, you know, if you had, so we want to, invite the recovery community and also other community members. If you're leaders in this community and you want to be involved in what's happening, I mean, we're at 10th and Lapeer. We're right down the street, and there's always something going on. So we've always come up with the ideas on what support groups are needed. We're going to flip the script and say, what do you guys feel the support groups are needed? If you don't want that to be a community garden and you want it to be a beach volleyball court, great. But you guys vote on it, then you create the committee that's going to execute on it. We're going to divide into groups and go through a process that if you had $1,000 you could work with, how would you better our community? And each group come up with different ideas on how they would spend that money and then come together on how we can execute it.
It's interesting you mentioned money, because there is money coming available, isn't there, here in St. Clair County from an opioid settlement, or is it not? What's that process been like so far?
Well, you're right. There's the opioid settlement dollars that have come to the state of Michigan. In fact, the Opioid Advisory Commission released its first annual report yesterday. And it'd probably be a whole nother session that we could come back on and talk, because that's a pretty, there's a lot of moving parts to that. It's a very complicated and complex system, and there's a lot of money at stake. And anytime you put a lot of money at stake, there's just a lot of people involved, a lot of complex barriers. So
sure.
I can sort of summarize that and put a little some narrow focus on it so we can understand what's the end result going to be, because at the end of the day, this has got to wind up in the hands of the people that were affected, the families and the individuals that were affected by opiates, because we got 1,000 people with great ideas on how to spend this money. How do we sort through all of that to make sure we don't lose sight of the primary focus and the primary objective of saving lives?
You don't want to duplicate services. You don't want it to go to waste. You want to make sure that it goes to the best use, right?
Well, it's got to go to the best use, but with the understanding that there's a circle of a recovery ecosystem involved. And if we overweight one end of that recovery ecosystem by flooding and providing services over here, which are novel to the people in the room that say, that was the best idea I ever heard of. Let's do it and spend $500,000 on it. Great. It is great. But if we don't look at how the end result is going to impact on that recovery ecosystem, we might put stress somewhere else. And that barrier could break. And so we need to understand what that recovery ecosystem looks like. And I can help explain that so we can have a good picture of what that landscape looks like.
And just briefly, what would you say is the best use for that money? And obviously, you don't get to decide alone, and you don't get all the money. But if somebody were to ask you, well, Patrick, what do you think we should do with this money here in St. Clair County? If somebody had a big check to write, what would you do with it?
Again, that's a probably we should set up another meeting for this, but the short
answer is
there.
That's what they call a loaded question, right?
It's a loaded question. There are gaps that do exist in the state of Michigan, and there are gaps that exist across every community, and it's important to spend that money within those gaps so we don't duplicate already existing efforts. Right now we have a system that tends to fund great things, but our solutions sometimes can be disproportionate to the spending dollars. So we have to make sure that those spending dollars are proportionate to our solutions, and that the recovery aftercare plan system of care gets the appropriate attention that it deserves. Right now, we spend a lot of money on the first 30 days of somebody's recovery. And then by 6 months, it's come down quite significantly. By 2 years, it's virtually non-existent. When I enter recovery, we have to understand that that's a lifelong decision that I made.
Yeah.
So does our systems support the lifelong decision that I made? So we can already start to see where those gaps are going to be.
Right. And that's what BRock is. BRock, when somebody calls you, one of those 750 calls you've gotten in the last 90 days saying, I need help, it might be I'm in recovery and I'm having a difficult time, but it might be I'm not in recovery yet. I need to be in recovery. How do I get there, right?
Absolutely. We start out with a needs assessment. Where are you at today?
Yeah.
Where can we be helpful before we can provide any sort of advice or any sort of solutions? Yes, BW Rock lives in the gaps that 5 years ago. There were big gaps. There are still gaps today, but that's where we sort of thrived. We didn't have transportation systems 5 years ago. We do today with the city's help and other areas and individuals that have come alongside us to help support that. But we start out with a needs assessment. Where are you at? Where can we be helpful? Do you need treatment today? We are our center is one big conduit to healing. That's really what it is. You need help, come to us, and we'll help provide. We may not have the recovery resources on site, but our recovery coaches are all MDHHS certified recovery community navigators. So they know all the systems like the back of their hand. So we can get you that support if we don't offer internally quickly. And that's what's helped us sort of advance.
Yeah.
And so if they need recovery, we'll help them get to treatment. And right when they get out, we'll be the conduit to recovery housing, to their support groups. But where do I go? You know, I go see my, if I'm in fear of seeing maybe a counselor or a therapist, I don't really want to do that. Look, we encourage those mm-hmm. things. We know that those are very valuable. So we're going to hold them accountable to doing that. Hopefully provide a system in order to get there if they can't drive with a recovery coach or a transportation vehicle. But the recovery coaches do a good job at A, identifying where you're at today and in 6 months where you want to be, and then providing the goals necessary in order to get there.
A week from tomorrow, anybody that's part of the recovery community, knows somebody in the recovery community, or is just interested in the betterment of the recovery community, invited to this meeting at BROC, right?
Absolutely. 11 a.m., and we're looking forward to meeting with lots of community members and the recovery community to make BROC a better place.
All right. April 1st, a week from tomorrow. Pat, Sharon, thanks to both of you for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on, Paul.
22 past 9 o'clock now here on WPHM. Mm-hmm.